Well, it's time now for our Friday political panel, and joining me this morning, Michelle Grattan, who is a professorial fellow at the University of Canberra and chief political correspondent at The Conversation. Michelle, welcome back.
Hi.
And also, Tom McElroy is the political editor for Guardian Australia. Tom, good to have you in the studio this morning.
Thanks for having me, Sally.
And our own Mel Clark is, of course, with us. Mel, good
Thanks,
morning.
Thanks, Sally.
Now, a lot of issues this morning. Let's start, Michelle, with COP31. The government and the Prime Minister invested a lot of political capital in trying to secure hosting rights for Australia and for Adelaide in particular. How much of a blow is it that this didn't deliver results?
It's a mixed result. I think that if it had happened, say, a year ago, it would have been much more of a blow, because I think that enthusiasm for hosting this COP has really diminished in many sections of the government in recent times. The cost was going to be enormous, and it was seen as bringing its own problems. So in a way, they have got a compromise where they've got a conference for the Pacific countries, not that that satisfies those countries, but they've got some meeting for them. And also Minister Bowen is going to be central in the negotiations. But that itself, I think, is a major problem, because there is so much work to do with the energy transition that to have the chief minister who's in charge of that diverted into COP negotiations, I think, is frankly a negative.
Has the global political importance of COP walked back slightly with COP30 as well? The United States not turning out in full force, others as well, some were running late with their plans about how they're going to reduce emissions. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I think the dynamics of COP is starting to change. I've been struck this week of how little coverage there has been from the conference. Mm. It's the critical week. It's barely sort of registered in Australia. I agree with Michelle that the politics are a bit mixed for COP31 next year. I think it could turn out to be something of a blessing in disguise. You know, power prices, a shift in the kind of global politics of the renewable transition. This time next year, things could be quite different, and it might be helpful for Labor that they're slightly less exposed. You know, tens of thousands of people showing up in Adelaide might have been difficult.
Mel, we've had the framing of the Coalition's approach to its emissions policy as one not so much about the science, but about the issue of affordability, which has been very central. How do you see all of that?
Look, I think in terms of how it relates directly to the COP bid, I think there is going to be a very reasonable question asked about what is Chris Bowen going to do and how is he going to manage his portfolio loads? This is clearly an international role that requires a lot of time and attention, and when the government will be attacked for what it is doing around how power affordability, that will put pressure on the minister who has domestic responsibility for that. So I think we can expect to see some kind of move to address that. But there is no doubt that the government has to confront the issue of affordability in a way that I don't think either side of politics has really been willing to do in an upfront way, which is we have a grid that, regardless of what you want to do with the energy grid, whether you want to take it back to baseload power or power ahead with renewables, there needs to be an enormous amount of infrastructure investment. Much of that will come from the private sector, but there will need to be federal government support. And highly expensive infrastructure projects require money, which means power prices are going to go up. Ultimately, consumers have to pay, whether it is through their bills or whether it is through taxpayer funds. And I don't think either side is really being quite upfront enough about the fact that this is an impost on households, and that needs to be a more of an upfront conversation.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. It's 29 past eight. Our Friday political panel is in the House. Michelle, started off with talk of Liberal leadership at the beginning of this week at the federal level. The week is ending with changes in leadership in both Victoria and New South Wales at the state level. What's happening for the Liberal Party? What's your read on the bigger picture right now?
The bigger picture is, I think, that the party is really in a dreadful position. in a number of places federally and, of course, in several states. Now, we've seen the Victorian and New South Wales changes. I don't think that anyone thinks that the Liberals will have much chance at the next New South Wales election. And I think in Victoria, which is particularly interesting because you've got a government really that's unpopular and not performing well there, but the Liberals just don't seem to be able to make any impact and fight internally all the time. Now, whether this new leader will have any better run, who knows? But certainly that's interesting. Of course, all the attention now turns to Susan Lee, and she's got to get through next week, the final week of Parliament. Most people will think she will get through next week and stay as leader into the new year, but of course, one never knows. But basically, it reflects the fact that the Liberals at the moment, at all levels, cannot get their acts together.
Tom, I was talking with Alex Hawke earlier, and we had a listen to Mark Speakman, the opposition leader in New South Wales, outgoing, in brackets, his comments about brand damage after the federal election. What did you think of those remarks?
I thought they were quite frank. I think it's true that the brand damage, the rot is coming from Canberra in a big way. I think the Liberal branches around the country, and Alex Hawke, someone that would know about this, have structural problems. You know, the membership is ageing out of the political system. General image, I think, going to Michelle's point, is that these organisations spend their whole time fighting amongst themselves, you know, tearing each other to shreds. And I think on some issues like climate change and other things, they're kind of getting away from where the demographic of the voter base is. So I think if these new leaders, if this new generation of leaders can reorient things and fix the organisational side of the parties to kind of promote stronger membership and better policy, it could be an opportunity. However, that's really tough stuff. Susan Lee's trying to do it at the federal level. She's got a review commission through James McGrath. I think that's important work. It's going to take some years to flow through. It'll be fascinating to see what happens next week. I think Monday's news poll will put a lot of pressure on Susan Lee, but the fact that her opponents seem to want to keep things in abeyance until next year might mean that she makes it through at least until the summer break.
What's the spotter's guide here, Mel? If Susan Lee does get through next week, which we're expecting that she will, but anything can happen, what sort of manoeuvrings will we be expecting from her likely opponents over the summer?
Yeah, I think the first thing you can expect is everyone to take a breath because there is a fair degree of exhaustion amongst MPs. It turns out this sort of internal fighting is quite tiring. But
it's good cardio.
That's right. It's going to be some benefit from it.
Observers too.
Yeah. But I think the time frame we need to look at is really what happens between, say, Australia Day and the budget. I mean, that's the period in which, if there's going to be a change, I think you could expect one of your, I'm glad you put the riders in for me, Sally, so I didn't have to. Of course, anything can happen and may happen. And I think the risk there for Susan Lee is if she does make a misstep that things will cascade very quickly. But presuming that things sort of proceed as expected over the next few weeks, I think it's that sort of mid-January through to the budget when it's due in May is the period in which if you are going to have a leadership change, you would want to do it then to give enough time for someone, the replacement, to establish themselves, but also do it with enough, hopefully, memory loss from the public by the time a voting actually comes around, that this drama is too far from minds. But it's not settled as to who that replacement would be. And that means that the period after this sitting week does become a bit of a battle of who can manage to muster the numbers, who can make the case, and who can set up a scenario so that the challenge is done as cleanly as possible. That's what they would want. So do you need someone else willing to sink the knife so that the successor doesn't have to be the one doing it. These are the sorts of things that need to be figured out if you're doing the backroom dark arts.
The clock's running against us. Michelle, the other challenge next week from a parliamentary perspective and politically for the government is to try and get the environmental law reforms through. We've got an inquiry, but if they can get a deal done next week, it'll go through. What do you think the chances are?
Well, certainly Murray Watt is absolutely talking up the prospects of a deal. He seems very determined. Now, there might be a bit of bluff in this, but on the other hand, he's a determined sort of guy and he wants it done. He would prefer it, I think, for it to be done with the coalition. And Susan Lee's put up a number of negotiating points, a sort of detailed brief she's issued. Some Liberals seem pretty confident that there will be a deal with the coalition. However, it will depend on just how much give and take there is on both sides. And also, Susan Lee has the problem that the Nationals, of course, who are off the leash on a whole lot of things, are pretty feral on this, or at least some of them are. So if she gets a deal, how much criticism will she come under from the Nationals?
Politically, what's in it for the coalition to be the party that makes the deal on this, Tom?
Oh, credibility, I think. It's a major thing. Business wants this deal done. I think there's political vulnerabilities because of the net zero debate. The other thing, of course, Labor prefers to deal with the coalition. You know, they try and keep the Greens out of the picture as much as possible. Your interview with Larissa Waters kind of went to that. I think it's a credibility test. I agree with Michelle. Murray Watt's gonna get this through. I think there's a strong likelihood this is, even if they have to sit a day late next week, which I hate to raise the prospect of.
Please don't do that. The clock has beaten us again. Michelle Grattan, thank you very much for being my guest this morning on our political panel.
Thank you.
Michelle Grattan is Chief Political Correspondent at The Conversation. And Tom McElroy is Political Editor for Guardian Australia. Tom, thank you.
Thanks, Sally.
And Mel Clark, thank you.
Thanks, Sal.